Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Awesome. It really is to be joined by someone who helped put together this Suns team. On the line right now is Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough and former GM of the Phoenix Suns, longtime front office guru around the NBA. Remember, insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. Ryan, what's going on, man?
Bill, everything's going well. Great to be on with you, and it's an exciting morning here in Arizona for game six tonight with the Suns having lost three in a row. You can imagine there's some nervous people walking around Phoenix right now.
Yeah, I was at games one and two, and people in Phoenix were so kind and so joyous and just so over the moon at how close they were. What has to happen on the floor tonight, Ryan, for the Suns and Suns fans to have a chance to win this thing in a Game 7 on Thursday?
Bill, Chris Paul needs to play better, especially on the defensive end of the court. I look at his numbers from Game 5 the other night. They're pretty good. He had 21 points and 11 assists, but I don't think he's had the impact, especially defensively, as this series has gone on. As you remember, he was terrific in Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals when the Suns closed out the L.A. Clippers to advance to the NBA Finals. He was great in Game 1 of this series. Since then, he's been on a little bit of a downward slide. He's had a few off nights mixed in. And then more than anything, I think he still scores. He still gets his assists, as he tends to do, Bill. But defensively, he's being targeted by the Milwaukee Bucks, whether he's guarding Jrue Holiday or Chris Middleton. And Game 5, in a lot of ways, was the disaster scenario for Phoenix. Phoenix still played well. They shot the ball very well. They were at home. Usually that results in a win. But Game 5 was the first time Milwaukee's big three of Giannis, Holiday, and Middleton all played well at the same time. So Paul's going to need to defend better tonight to try to slow down one of those two guys in the backcourt from Milwaukee. Either Middleton or Holiday needs to have an off night in order for the Suns to win.
Ryan McDonough here on the show. Ryan, Chris Paul's obviously had a remarkable career. He's also had his share of postseason failures and really disappointments. 3-1 series leads. This would be, if the Suns don't find a way to win the next two games, the fourth time, which would set a record, that Chris Paul has been at the helm of a team up 2-0 in a series and not been able to win that series. As you look at CP3 in the last game, maybe the game before, is it physical? Is it the pressure? Is it something tactically that Mike Budenholzer and the Bucks are doing? Can you pinpoint or guess for us why you think Chris Paul's been a different player from earlier in the series?
Well, I do think the hand and wrist injuries that he's battling are having some kind of impact, Bill. That's specifically to this series in the short term. I would say longer term, and this is a team-building exercise that front offices study, a lot of teams don't want to build their club around a small point guard or a small guard, period. You know, Chris Paul's only about 6 feet tall. He's obviously brilliant. He's one of the best point guards in NBA history, but he's not the biggest or most athletic guy. And that's maybe unfair to Chris. There's nothing he can do about that. But in the playoffs, I think, especially as you climb the ladder in the playoffs in advance to the conference finals and the NBA finals, the players get, you know, bigger, stronger, more athletic, more skilled, and you're playing the best of the best. And for whatever reason, when the stakes have been raised, Chris Paul hasn't delivered in the conference finals until this year, and then this year recently in the NBA finals. But the great thing about sports is, Bill, is Chris and the Suns have a way to change that narrative over the next 3 days. If they get two wins tonight and then get in Game 7 back here in Phoenix on Thursday, all will be forgotten, and then Chris Paul will go down in Suns history as the guy who brought him back and led the franchise to their first championship.
Ryan, you were the GM of this Suns team. You drafted several of the guys that are critical to where we are now. And obviously, and this is the nature of sports what you do, sports media, what I do, you get hired or get fired. It's they're never forever jobs. What's the mix of pride, of frustration you couldn't see it through to see a big part of a team that you put together now on the cusp of, they got to win a couple more, but in NBA Finals and competing?
Yeah, a lot of pride, Bill. I think that's the right word for it. I've really enjoyed watching the team play all year. They've been one of the best teams in the league throughout the season. They have the second best record in the regular season. And then the three guys I have relationships with, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and Mikal Bridges, we drafted when I was there. And they're three of the five starters, three of their best players, and really fine young men. So just watching them play well has been really enjoyable. I was fortunate enough to be in the Celtics front office when we had Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, and those great teams. We won the championship in 2008. We lost to the Lakers in the finals in 2010. So I've been fortunate enough to be around the NBA Finals a couple times and be on that big stage. Obviously, I'd love to be part of it with this Suns team. But as you mentioned, in pro sports on the team side or even the media side, you don't always get to see it through. And then I think a lot of these jobs, Bill, are maybe teeing it up for the next guy or leaving the situation better than you found it. And I'm confident that's what we did when we were with the Phoenix Suns.
You know, Devin Booker is such an interesting guy because I think it's 6 years you qualify as a veteran in general terms. He's also still an incredibly young dude. As you know, when you drafted him, he came into the league as a very, very young guy. And so when watching him play, Ryan, I can't decide sometimes if I'm seeing it through the prism of a very young dude who's in the finals early in his career or a player that's been in the association for a long time. If you're in that organization, if you're Monty Williams, what do you say to Devin coming off that turnover, which I'm sure was crushing, so that he's in the right frame of mind and he's ready to go for tonight's game?
Yeah, he's the first player in finals history to score 40 points in consecutive games and have his team lose both of those games. You remember how good he was in game four up in Milwaukee and then in game five in Phoenix the other night. So he's done all he can offensively as far as scoring. I think the next step for him and the Suns, Bill, if they do want to get over this hump, keep in mind they're playing a very good defensive team with the Bucks, is more ball movement and player movement. I thought that's when the Suns were the hardest to guard. Early in the year, you saw it even early in the playoffs. At times they got into those offensive flows against the Denver Nuggets and LA Clippers, and they have a lot of skilled players and a lot of guys who can dribble, pass, and shoot. So I think they're better when they're playing like that. Now, Devin's great enough individually to go off for 40 or even 50 points in a finals game. He has that kind of explosive capability, but I think trusting the pass, trusting your teammates, moving the ball and then relocating off the ball makes the Suns tougher to beat as a team. So I imagine Monty Williams has had some of those conversations with Devin Booker over the last couple days because they need everybody to win to play well, as the Suns have shown through the last couple games, games four and five. Booker can play great individually, but if the rest of the guys aren't firing on all cylinders, Milwaukee's a very good opponent, and the Bucks can beat the Suns if it's just Booker carrying the offensive load.
This is CBS Sports Radio. We are talking to Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Ryan, also the former Suns GM here, thanks to our friends at Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Ryan, Jrue Holiday did not have a great shooting night a couple games ago, 4-for-20, right? For folks that aren't watching, just looking at the box score, you might be able to pick at him a little bit. But he's been awesome defensively since the end of game two and certainly contributed offensively in that last game. What have you seen from Holiday, and what do you expect from him tonight if the Bucks are to get this done?
Yeah, Jrue Holiday's the firefighter, Bill. They move him around. Mike Budenholzer moves him around, and he puts out fires when Chris Paul or Devin Booker get hot. He's the guy who comes in and really tries to slow those guys down and has done an excellent job of that. So I think that's what we'll see tonight. And if I'm Phoenix, especially with Paul and Booker on the floor, whoever Holiday is not guarding, I'm trying to run more sets with that guy to get Holiday off the ball. If you look at the pick-and-roll numbers, Bill, and this is getting in the weeds a little bit with some of the advanced stats, but if you look at the pick-and-roll numbers, especially as far as the defensive coverages for the Milwaukee Bucks, they've been average or below average as a team, other than when Jrue Holiday is the guy guarding the pick-and-roll action, they've been elite. So that's how good Holiday is on the ball in guarding pick-and-rolls, whether it's Chris Paul or Devin Booker. You don't want to try to go against another team's strength, at least not more than you have to. So I expect Phoenix, again, to try to move the ball around, spread it out, have different players attack off the dribble, and then when Holiday is guarding in isolation situations, get off the ball for Phoenix, move it away from Holiday's man, and have their other star guard, whether it's Paul or Booker, attack whichever guy's not being guarded by Holiday.
Ryan, Giannis has obviously had an incredible, incredible series. The guy's a two-time MVP. I mean, he's incredible. And it's not as if Phoenix has a ton of guys in that front court, especially if and when DeAndre Ayton get into foul trouble. If you're the Suns, if you're Monty Williams, What is your game plan to try and, you know, slow down or stop or whatever you can do with Giannis?
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty simple, at least simple to do, Bill, not simple to execute. I would recommend playing DeAndre Ayton every single second Giannis is on the floor, and every second Giannis is on the bench, I would rest Ayton. I'd literally go, you know, if you see Giannis getting up from the Bucks bench, going to the scores table, here comes Ayton, and then vice versa. To put into kind of the impact of that, Phoenix has nobody who can physically stop Giannis. I mean, nobody can stop him, Bill, but slow him down, keep him, you know, to some extent away from the rim in the restricted area. DeAndre Ayton played 45 minutes in Game 5 the other night. The Suns were a plus 6 in that time. Keep in mind, they lost the game by 4, Bill, so that means in a 48-minute game, the 3 minutes Ayton was on the bench, the Suns were minus 10. So I think any time Giannis is on the court, if Ayton's not in foul trouble, even if he's tired, he just has to battle it out, because keep in mind that Dario Saric is the Suns' traditional backup center. He tore his ACL early in the finals, so Phoenix is really thin up front, and without Ayton, I don't think they have the ability to keep Giannis away from the rim or off the free throw line.
Ryan, it's been an unpredictable series. It's been an unpredictable postseason. It's been an unpredictable year for the entire world. So I know that it's best guess, but your instincts, everything you've seen, what do you think happens tonight?
Well, my heart's telling me Phoenix. I obviously want those guys to do well. I worked for the organization for 5.5 years. But my mind's telling me Milwaukee's been pretty darn good at home throughout the regular season, and especially in the playoffs where they've only lost one game. So I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think either team's going to get blown out. I just think they're too good and too competitive for that, Bill. I think the Bucks will win tonight. They've been that good at home. And as I mentioned, in Game 5, they finally unlocked figuring out how to get all three of their stars, Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday, playing well on the same night. Now, that being said, this could easily be 3-1, 3-2 in terms of Phoenix, or the series over in favor of the Suns, Bill. That's how close the games have been. So I expect a close game, but tonight I'm going to give the edge to Milwaukee at home, as much as I'd love to see the Suns win it and force a Game 7 back here in Phoenix on Thursday night.
Ryan McDonough, before we let you go, Damian Lillard's name has obviously been out there as a potential target. Clearly said he hasn't made up his mind, but I would not personally argue that his comments were reassuring if you're Neil O'Shea and that Portland Trailblazers organization. So just for the sake of conversation, if Lillard became available, if he decided that he wanted to leave and they acquiesced or they decided to move on from him for whatever reason, what does the market bear for a guy like Damian Lillard? What kind of return is necessary if you're Neil O'Shea, the GM in Portland, and you're going to trade him?
Well, I mean, he's the franchise, obviously, in Portland. What he's meant to that team and that city and really, you know, basketball in Oregon and in the Northwest. I mean, he's been Mr. Trailblazer. He'll go down as probably the best Blazer in franchise history, certainly one of them. So if you do it, if you pull that trigger, Bill, I think you have to be willing to do one of two things. Either one, fully rebuild and get as many talented young players. You'd want a young player in return that you think has a chance to be a star, and a bunch of other draft picks and maybe some other young prospects as well. Or if you want to stay at a playoff competitive level, get a young star who's obviously less proven than Lillard but has some potential and some upside. Now keep in mind, Lillard's under contract for at least 3 more years, and then he has a player option for the fourth year. That actually increases his value, Bill, because the team trading for him knows they'll have him before he hits free agency again, potentially in 2024, maybe even in 2025. So this will be a tremendous return. It'll be similar to what Brooklyn gave up to get James Harden, maybe even greater than that, Bill, given that some teams didn't necessarily want Harden or were concerned about Harden with his attitude and off-court lifestyle and all that. Whether that's fair or not, that was just a perception around the league. Nobody really has those concerns about Lillard. Every team would love to have him. So that's why I think if Portland puts him in play or if other teams come with offers, they're going to be very aggressive, involve a number of prospects, some cap flexibility, maybe some pick swaps, and a bunch of draft compensation going forward over a number of years that, if the Blazers do it right, could set their franchise up well long-term, but losing Damian Lillard would certainly hurt the program in the short term.
All right, Ryan, last one for you. Ben Simmons is obviously another guy who has been out there as a potential trade target. We'll see what Daryl Morey decides. But for you personally, if you were still a GM, how would you value Ben Simmons or not as a potential building block for a championship contender?
Yeah, it's ironic that we were just talking about Portland, because I'd really like Ben Simmons playing with Damian Lillard, if that makes sense, Bill. I'd like him as a screener roller and a secondary playmaker. If I were in the Trailblazers front office, something around McCollum for Simmons, I imagine the Blazers would have to give up more than just McCollum to get Simmons. But also, if I was in the Dallas front office with Luka Doncic, think of Ben Simmons in that role. I mean, with his size, strength, physicality, where he doesn't have to be the main guy, that also puts him a little closer to the basket, Bill, to minimize some of his shooting weaknesses. So I'm really intrigued in Ben Simmons. If I'm another team from that perspective, Philly's in a little bit of a tough spot, because you never want to trade a player when his value is low, and certainly Simmons' value is down right now. So I expect them to put Simmons in play. Again, if I'm a GM with another team and could put him in a different role, which I think Simmons has that uniqueness, especially if you get him, again, rolling and closer to the rim as a secondary playmaker, I'd be very intrigued by that, because I think the guy's talented, and I think defensively he could also help guys like Damian Lillard in Portland and Luka Doncic in Dallas.
I love that. And Ryan, we got to let you go, but the McCollum to Philly, I think, is really interesting for Philly, too. That feels like, if you can make the other pieces work, a pretty tantalizing thing, at least to think about.
I think so, too. Yeah, it's McCollum plus more for Simmons. And,
right.
And I think what it would come down to, Bill, is what is the plus more? What else does Philly ask for? And what else is Portland willing to put in addition to McCollum?
Ryan, really appreciate the conversation. You're an incredible follow on Twitter. We love the insight. Thanks for making time.
Anytime, Bill.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.